I seriously, and more, right? God, I mean, for example, Alethea, right? I mean, remember, like, it took me 8 years to take her because she's allergic to mosquito bites. And I thought I would come back with the testimony that she never got a mosquito bite, but no. She got more mosquito bites than any of her team members, maybe besides Keone. And did all those bites get infected? Yes, pusses and all. But in America, one little thing, oh, mommy, and I look, I could barely see anything, right? But I have to be like, oh, poor baby, oh, right? But there, she was bleeding. You know, she had so many infected mosquito bites, and she's like, oh, it's fine, mommy, right? Such missions grace, right? So I was really thankful to have my sister and my daughter and Soda, right? Soda to join our Emeryville campus. So it was really, really powerful. Amen? Amen? So today, my sermon is going to be sharing the treasures. Sharon started sharing the treasures that we've seen. You know, every time you go on a battlefield, when you win, you come back home with spoils. And Pastor Robert Daniels always taught us, never fight battles with little spoils, right? Always, when you fight the Lord's battle, you always come back with much spoil. And so every time we go on a mission trip, not only do we release breakthrough, healing over there, but we also come back with treasures. And I want to kind of present to you these treasures so that you take it. It's not just for the team members that went. It's for every one of you because you went with us through your prayer and through your support. Amen? Amen. So major, major, major treasure is this. Everybody say, it's time.
It's time.
One more time. It's time.
It's time.
It's time to take your place. Yeah, say it. It's time to take your place. It's time to return to God. We saw that in so many different levels over there. I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah 11, 11, and then Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. Okay, Isaiah 11, 11 first. Okay, it says, it shall come to pass in that day, the Lord shall set his hand. Everybody say, set his hand.
Set his hand.
Again, the second time to recover, everybody say, recover.
Recover.
The remnant of his people who are left. You know, as I was preparing to preach, because I didn't sleep all night, right? I just saw the hand of God. He set his hand. You know, when you're ready to work, like, you know, like you prepare, right? You're ready to, when you're ready to work, you pull up your sleeves. Why are you laughing so much? What's going on, right? You pull up your sleeves and you set your hand, right? You're ready to work. I just saw God's hand just in front of us. He's like so ready. He's so ready. What is he ready to do? Just keep that in your mind. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, remember. Say, remember.
Remember.
I pray the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me, everybody say, return to me. And keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. What you've done in Indonesia, Father, I thank you that you are doing it here also. That we are not just, we're not the ones just to give, but we are also receivers, Lord. That we don't only sow, but we reap. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying to Living Hope, it is time to take your next level place in your kingdom place. It's time. It's time to step up. It's time to take your place of authority and anointing. It's time for some of you, it's time to return. It's time to return to your place in the house of God. It's time to return to your intimate relationship with God. It's time to return. It's time to take your place. So, Father, open our hearts to receive the grace to take your place, to receive the grace to return to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. All I hear is, it's time. Come on, tell your neighbor, it's time. God has given us, you know what he did with his hand? He released grace over you and me to take the place, take your place of authority and anointing. Some of you who's been serving in the house faithfully, guess what? That's not the end. God is saying it's time for you to step up, go to another level of anointing and authority. And we've seen that in Amy and Sharon when Benjamin got taken out, right? And they were praying. My sister told me, they were like, there is no plan B. Who's right? You want to preach? No. You want to preach? No. There is no plan B. It sounded like faith, right? But in reality, it was fear, right? You preach? No, you preach. You know what? There is no plan B. We're going to believe that God will hear Pastor Benjamin and he's going to preach, right? And they believe and they pray. And guess what? God did not answer their prayer. Why? Why? Because he set his hand over Amy and Sharon to take their place. Yeah. Next level authority and anointing. My sister said when Amy preached, she said literally she felt like the whole building was shaken. Wow. That she preached so powerfully that the whole, not only people, but building itself felt like it was rumbling. Mm-hmm. And then guess what? Without me, you know, I'm the deliverance person in this church, right? Without me, Sharon led it and the whole team joined Sharon and delivered a violently demon-possessed lady. Come on, give him praise. I was so proud. I was like, what? What? Yeah, what? I was so excited. Sometimes God doesn't answer your prayer. Not because he has forsaken you, because he's setting you up. He's setting you up for you to take your next level, higher level of authority. You would think, you know, the way I'm going to get to that place is I'm going to fast and pray and I'm going to feel strong and I'm going to voluntarily step up. Pastor, let me preach and prophesy. Nah, it doesn't work that way, right? Situationally, before the service, Benjamin doesn't even have memory because he was so sick. When the service is over, miraculously, he was healed. Mercy, right? There's a special divine grace for you to discover or to return to your kingdom place of strength and destiny. So I want to talk about some treasures. You know, my sister is here. She doesn't live here. That's why you don't see her often. You know, all my life, she's the one who led me to Christ when I was in second grade, right? And all my life, she supported our family. From age 19, she had to work two jobs to feed us. But you know what? I never felt I lacked. You know why? Because even from a young age, she took us to Nordstrom and Macy's and bought us. Even though she didn't have enough, she wanted, because we didn't have a mother or father that took care of us. They were there, but they weren't available, right? And so she always supported us. And so two of her sisters are pastors. I'm a pastor, our other sister's a pastor. She always supported us. She not only did she support Joseph, she supported me. She supported Benjamin. She supported my brother-in-law and my sister. And she always felt like, you know, like my job is to support. But deep inside, she had this desire and cry of her heart that said, but I want to serve you. But I want to preach. I want to prophesy. I want to go. But she felt like that's just not my place. So this was her, you know, not counting Mexico, this was her first overseas mission trip. But you know what was amazing? Was first night we were in Nias, we had revival service, and the whole team went up to pray for people. The first person she touches and prays, bam, gets slain in the Holy Spirit. Her church doesn't even function like that, right? And then the second person she prays, bam, they go down. One by one, Benjamin and I were like, oh. Benjamin came, like he changed his seat to, look at her. And so we're like, whoa, right? You know what I realized? That a lot of times, God, even though she desired to serve the Lord by going, she faithfully supported. But when she went, it was as if she's been doing it all along. That's the grace of God. And God is saying, you have desires in your heart to serve God in a greater level. But you may question, but me? Me? No, that's not my lot. Me? No, that's not my calling. Me? No, I don't have those giftings. But God is saying, in this season, I'm giving you the grace to serve me in power and in authority according to the desires of your heart. Amen?
Amen.
We witnessed so many, just like Sharon mentioned, so many of our members that were established in their true identity as a son of God, as the son of the house, especially our San Francisco campus. Right? Because, you know, they don't see Benjamin and I that as often as you do. And so being on the mission trip, I remember one of the SOTA member, Ying, was like, wow, I didn't know you guys had an adopt-a-child program where you sponsor the children. And Benjamin just looked at him and said, no, not you guys. We have an adopt-a-child program. We sponsor Ying. We are one house.
Yeah.
And that set him free. He said all the time, he always looked at Emeryville campus and said, it's them and we are us. And I want to be prophetic like that. They're so prophetic. They're so powerful. I want to be like that. Wow. He said from outside, he envied you. But in that moment that Benjamin said, no, we are one house. It is us. He said it set him free. And he realized I have the keys to the inheritance of this house as a son. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
And he hasn't even been to Abba conference. And the revelation this man brought every morning during devotions, it was crazy, right? And Benjamin preached out of Ying's revelation, right? At revival, it was powerful. And to see Anthony, he's a single man. He's single, guys, woman. He's single and ready to mingle, right? But to see him for the first time in orphanage and God releasing the father's heart, sometimes I laugh, sometimes I cried with him because sometimes like we're having a powerful moment, I look, tears are coming. Or we're playing games, right? We're laughing. And then I look at him and in the corner, the tears are coming down. We're praying. Tears are coming down. And we're casting out demons. Tears are coming. He's always having this moment with the Father because the Father's heart got so released upon him. I mean, go look at my Facebook. There's pictures of children just hanging over him, on him. Man, to see that? He's never had a child of his own, but to have the father's heart like that, man, that was so powerful. And that's for all of us. Where you are at, you could carry the Father's heart in your job, in your family. Whether you're single or a father or a woman, you could carry the Father's heart and release the Father's heart. Amen?
Amen.
And then when I saw Chung, right? This, you know, Chung's this, like, you know, single, in love, right, with Amy, right? He was so, like, everybody were like, oh, yeah, he loves her, right? But you know, can I carry? What do you need? Like, oh, I need some money. He gave everything. I was like, why don't you keep 50% when she was going to Telo? I'm like, come on. You should have kept 50%. I don't know. When she says she needed it. And then, like, our last day in Medan, we had one day of rest, right? And like, you know, Amy's like, oh, I need to go buy something. Takes out his credit card here. Dang, right? This generous heart. But more than that, not only over Amy, but over the whole team, this older brother, not the older brother that's like jealous, not that from the Bible, but older brother that sacrifices, older brother who's ready to clean so that you could just sit, the older brother who would take the garbage out, the older brother who's willing to do all of your laundry, the older I saw that in him. And it was, the love was so tangible, it blessed my heart. It, you know what I'm talking about? And like, the brother, the bromance, like, when I saw, and when I saw Brian, like, throwing Anthony down on the floor and got a big old bruise. Look at that bruise, right? Bromance. They were playing a game. They were playing a game. But they were, like, hugging, like, Ying, Anthony, Chung, all these bromance, right? Like, that's in our lineage, right? It started with, like, Mickey and Daniel and Jason and Phil, right? And then it went over, and they don't even, like, hang out with them. And it, like, over, right? It was just the intimate bond that was built amongst the team members. Man, that's like the pastor's dream come true. Just like my mother always says, when I see my children love each other, that's the best gift. To see, to witness that, man, that was amazing. These are the treasures that we saw. And then I talked about Amy. I talked about my sister, Sharon. And then even Aletheia, guys. One day at night, I'm like, where's Aletheia? Everybody, we were just hanging out. She's gone. I'm like, where's Aletheia? Hey, do you know where Aletheia? I don't know. Where's Aletheia? And somebody said, I think she's in the other building, the orphanage side, because we were at the pastor's house side. So I'm like, oh, let me go check, right? And then I go check. I go, Aletheia. And she's up in the room. What are you doing there? Come down. And she said, Mommy, one of the girl is sick. I go, what? So when I went upstairs, Aletheia on one side, another little kid on the other side, and this teenage girl was holding her head, weeping, crying, because she was in so much pain. So I said, Aletheia, what happened? She said, I was downstairs playing, and I heard somebody cry. And when I came up here, she was holding her head and crying, and I didn't know what to do. So I went down and got another girl, and we came up. And when I saw them, they were just like rubbing and just praying and just like caring for her. So I'm like, oh, what's wrong? And she had migraine headache. It was so bad. She was like clenching and crying. So I got her medicine. Aletheia and I went, got food and fed her dinner, and we prayed over her, right? And this is what Aletheia said the next morning. Mommy, God answered my prayer. I said, really? What did he do? She said, well, I prayed that God would heal her, that by the morning, that when she wakes up, she would be completely healed. And look at her. She's completely healed. So I went and asked her, hey, Ufi, are you okay? Do you have any pain in your head? And she said, no, completely healed. 7, 8-year-old guys. 8-year-old. Isn't that powerful? You know, my first sermon, right, first service. I preached for Benjamin's like, I don't want to preach tomorrow on Saturday night, right? I don't want to preach. You preach. I'm like, come on. They expect you to preach. They want Pastor Benjamin, right? They'll be disappointed. Like, no, I don't want to preach. I'm exhausted. I preached last night. I got to preach, you know, Sunday night, open air crusade. I don't want to preach. I was like, what? Okay, fine. Then I'll preach, right? So first service, I preached. When I as I was preaching, God was giving me a prophetic word for the pastor's wife. And at the end, I prophesied over her. And Sean, guess what? The perimenopause, right? The testimony of perimenopause and how God, it set her free. She, by the end, she was on the floor wailing. And later on, and it broke through in the atmosphere. So many people came to the altar, getting slain in the Holy Spirit, getting their breakthrough. And after that, Pastor Lucas was like, pray for everybody in the sanctuary. And our team, after like an hour of altar call, right, we went. And as we laid our hands and prayed, people were getting slain. People were weeping. It was so powerful. Breakthrough. And Benjamin's like, hey, can I preach the second service? Yeah, huh? Okay, fine. You can preach, right? And he preached the second service. And you know what I realized? As I was talking to Ibu, right? Ibu is Samonim, is pastor's wife. As I was talking to Ibu, she was saying that everything I said, she was going through. And she wanted to just leave. She wanted to be alone. She wanted to give up. But on Sunday, like Spirit of God came and set her free. And this is what she said. Pastor Sunny, the breakthrough that you got is mine. Inheritance. And this is what she told me. I mean, a couple of days later, I gathered like about 10 pastors' wives and I had a luncheon and I encouraged them in the Lord, and everyone was sharing about their struggles and the lack of breakthrough. And the pastor's wife said this, Pastor Sunny, every time we feel stuck, every time we feel bound, and no matter what we do, we cannot break through. Every single time, God sends Living Hope team. And you guys come with timely, divine word to not only set us free, but to break us through to another level. This is what she said. We love Living Hope because there are other missions team that come. But in the spirit, we don't feel oneness. But Living Hope, we feel one. We feel like there's the same spirit. And breakthrough always happens. And she talked about the deliverance. You know, we've done a lot of deliverance there. You don't understand how hard we try to set people free. But then once your team comes, building fund. The move of God, every breakthrough that we got is because of Living Hope. And I hear the Lord saying, Living Hope, you send us out. My sister's like, your church okay for you to travel? Like, if it was like our church, they would grumble, they would complain. You're our pastor. You should pastor us. But I was like, no, our people sent us in love and in faith, right? And as we are sent out and as we pour out our lives, our strength, this is what my sister said. Man, it's like going on Living Hope missions is like entering into the Marines. It's like... You don't let us sleep over 4-5 hours a day. You put us on a boat and you don't feed us. You make us pray. You know, it's like being in the Marines. But you know what? We're ready to pour out our lives for their breakthrough. For their breakthrough. And this is what the Lord says for past 14 years, Living Hope. You poured your life. You built other churches' buildings. You built other churches' leadership. You provided, you supported, you built. And often you give and you feel like you have nothing. This is what the Lord says. In this next season, as you take your place, you will reap. As you take your place, you will reap. Another thing that we did was we went into this village. And once we walked in, witchcraft. Everybody felt it. They had dinner ready for us. We went in and everybody felt like lack of breakthrough and the presence of evil. And Amy was sick. Amy was so sick. But you know what? As we preached and as we worshiped, we had the whole congregation stand and renounce the power of witchcraft. Because it couldn't break one or two people just praying and believing. It took the whole church to stand, touch, and agree, and reject, and renounce the spirit of witchcraft. And we got to do that. And the leaders that were so worn out, you could see it in their eyes, right? They were so worn out. And at the altar, we prayed for them first, and the Spirit of God just, bam, fill them up, strengthen them, empower them to continue the work. And I told you about Phineas, right? Our past. This is our past fruit. You know what the Lord is saying, Living Hope? The seeds that you sowed years in the past that you forgot about. I forgot about Phineas, right? The past seeds that you have sown in this season, as you take your place, you will see the fruit. You will reap the fruit and you will eat of the fruit. Amen? And not only that, we got to sow into two more church buildings, guys. We sowed in faith to help them start and continue the building of their church building. And what did the Lord say? What you sow, you will reap. What you sow, you will reap. Do you believe that? Yes. Now, another thing that we saw was God set us up. Like, we were so excited about what God did in and through us, but what we saw as we were leaving, wow, God set us up. Right? So God set us up for Open Air Crusade back in Telo again, right? And he already provided resources for that. Hallelujah, right? He set up, like Sharon said, 150 pastors. You don't understand. When I say pastors, you see me and Benjamin, right? No, these pastors work in the way deep in the forest. You understand? Like, they feel alone. They feel weak. They feel dry. They feel like they can't break through. It's these pastors that people don't want to go to. Why? Because you have to travel like 40-something hours to get to them. And it's not just on the airplane. You got to go on the ferry boat with a lot of bugs. All night. And then you got to go on another little boat. And then you got to walk, right? These pastors that feel alone, we are gathering them to strengthen them and to empower them. We get to do that. Amen. Look around, this small church, we get to do that. What an opportunity and a privilege. This is what the Lord says to you and I. Don't let my words be just words. You gotta believe. Stir up your faith. Every time we are sent, we come back with treasures and spoils for you. For you. Something that you would have to work for. It's free. Grace of God is being released upon you for your breakthrough to take your place of authority. Take your place of destiny. And I also saw so many of us that's been taken out because of circumstances, because of pain. A lot of people that you don't see in this room, because they were taken out by the lies and the struggles of this world, God is saying there's a grace for them to return. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe for your brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and sons and daughters to return to the Lord in this season?
Hmm?
There's a grace to take your place, and there's grace to return to the house of God. Now, I want you to look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah asked somebody who's been to Jerusalem, tell me what's going on over there. And in Nehemiah 1:3, this is what they said. The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates were burned with fire. And Nehemiah is burdened, right? His people are burdened, and they're distressed. The walls are broken down, right? And he's crying out before God, right? And then look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 7 through 8. He prays to God, and he asks God, help me to be successful today as I approach the king. And he went boldly to king, asking for a letter to send him back to Jerusalem, asking him for a letter to provide the resources for him to rebuild the wall and the temple and the houses. And guess what? In verse 8 at the end, and the king granted them to me according to the good hand. Remember good hand that he set up? According to the good hand of my God upon me. Hand of God is upon us now. The key is, do you believe? Or do you question? The hand of God is upon us now.
Yeah.
And then if you continue to read Nehemiah 3 and 4, guess what? People gather around him. There's grace. I mean, before the leaders didn't want to rebuild the walls. They were busy building their own house, right? But when Nehemiah went with the vision and the resources, all these people gather. And you read through 3 and 4, they stand next to each other building the wall.
Yeah.
What they couldn't do for years. Years. Guess how many? 52 days. What they could not do in many, many years, they were able to accomplish in 52 days. Everybody say 52 days. Living Hope. Listen, the grace of God, the hand of God is upon you. What you could not do past many years, you could accomplish in 52 days. If you would believe, only if you would believe. But you know what? Just because there's grace of God doesn't mean enemy's gonna just sit down and watch.
Yeah.
Enemies did come, right? These people surrounding came, coming back to him, saying, you can't do anything. Who do you think you are? Right? Trying to discourage them, trying to make them afraid. They will come, deceiving them, right? Well, let's come. Come meet me at the valley of, oh, no, right? It's like, no, I don't have time for that, Nehemiah said. Right? The enemy will come. But you know, a lot of times what breaks the hearts of the pastor is this. When the breakthrough is right there, I can see your breakthrough right there. It's right. If you could just hold on to your faith, it's just right there. But then because the enemy senses that your breakthrough is right there, he comes with discouragement and fear, and people give up and they walk away. That breaks my heart the most. But Nehemiah didn't allow that to happen, right? And you know what else Nehemiah did? He dealt with sin, with the people of God. You know what they were doing with the poor? Oh, you don't have it? Okay. Well, okay. Give me all you got and I'll give you grain. Oh, we don't have money to pay you back. Well, give me your daughter as your... God said, you cannot take another Israelite as your slaves, right? back in Moses' time. But they were doing this. And Nehemiah said, what you're doing, this isn't good. What you're doing isn't good. He challenged them to make their hearts right with God. He challenged them. And at the end, Nehemiah gathers the leaders and the whole Israelites, and they make a covenant. And one of the covenant is, number one, we will not give our daughters to the foreigners, and we will not take their daughters as ours. We will honor the Sabbath. We will not buy or sell on Sabbath. And you know what else? We will bring first fruits. We will bring tithe to the house of God. And when I read that, my heart just sunk. Because I feel like Benjamin and I don't know who tithes and who don't. Because from the beginning, we told each other that we would not see what people give. Because we don't want to treat people differently according to their giving. So we don't know what you give or what you don't give. We just pray that you honor the Lord with your finances, right? And with your time. But in the spirit, I feel like so many of our people got distracted and stopped tithing. And my heart just sunk. I feel like the Lord is saying it's time. It's time to get things right. It's time for you to stop compromising. Stop compromising in your workplaces. Stop compromising with your family values. Stop compromising with the integrity that God has given you. And bring the first fruits to God. And when they did so, guess what? 52 days. Everybody say 52 days. 52 days. You know, there are a lot of things that Benjamin and I pray for, that we believe for, that we haven't seen in this house. But I hear the Lord saying, this word that I'm giving you is an encouragement. There's a grace. It's also a challenge to make it right. Only you know, between you and God, you know what you need to do to make it right. It's a challenge. And it also, it's an appeal. Saying, let's go to another level. Let's not just maintain and survive. Let's take hands and let's run for Jesus. Because what we have sown, we will reap. But in order for us to reap, we gotta believe and we gotta make it right. Lamentations 5:21. It says, turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old. Joel 2:13, so rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Zechariah 9:12, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope, even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. You look at your life, what you lost, the lack that you see, God is saying, if you return to me, if you make it right, I will restore double to you. Do you believe that? And as we read from the beginning, Isaiah 11:11, it shall come to pass. Everybody say, it shall come to pass.
It shall come to pass.
In that day that the Lord shall set his hand, say, set his hand.
Set his hand.
Again, the second time to recover the remnant of us, of his people who are left. I want you to arise and I want you to respond. I don't know in what section God spoke to you. Maybe faith that the hand of God is upon you, that grace is there for you to take your place. Maybe some of you, you need to respond to God by returning to the dreams and the visions that God has given you. You know, my sister shared there's so many times where I wanted to just surrender all. Surrender all and just go. Go in the name of Jesus. But always, you know, responsibilities as a mother, wife, there's so many things that kept her from just running. Just opening our heart and just trusting in God to run to the destiny that God has given her. But grace is here. God's grace is here. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to hear the voice of God. Some of you, you are hearing, my son, my daughter, it is time. It is time to take your place. Prophets, it is time for you to arise and prophesy. Healers, it is time for you to arise and release healing in the body of Jesus Christ. Preachers, it is time for you to open your mouth and preach the gospel. Worshipers, it is time for you to worship. Intercessors, it is time for you to stand in the gap. As you hear this, your heart, your flesh may say, but God, but my job, but my work, but my family. There's so many things that keeps you from taking that place that God has given you. God has prepared for you. You know what God is saying? Don't try to figure it out. If you try to figure it out, you'll never get there. God is saying, by faith, today, you could take your place. You can take your place in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. Some of you, you're here in the body, but you let your heart die. You let your desires die. And you let your intimacy with the Father die. And the Lord is saying, give me your heart again. Rend your heart. And some of you are saying, but God, I don't understand. But God, these buts. But God. I don't feel ready, but God, I feel dirty, but God, I don't understand, but God. And God is saying, stop trying to make yourself understand. Just rend your heart to me. It is time. It is time. It is time. Come on. Come on. I want you to just by faith, just say that it is time.